Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, after 2 years of turmoil inside Canada's largest public sector union over Fred Hahn's virulent anti-Semitic and anti-Israel posts, he has lost his position as the union's vice president, and this happened at this week's QP National Convention. He is still QP Ontario's president. Now, this is a guy who gleefully celebrated the October 7th massacre before the Gaza war even began, and that didn't cause him to lose the support of union brass. On the contrary, after that, he won another election. So what has changed now? And I'm wondering if this is part of a rethink among public sectors unions who see their situation changing and realize that a retreat from the radical politics they are so focused on is in order at this time. So what do you think? The numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And now let's go to Warren Kinsella, a lawyer and journalist, and Carrie Silverberg, a Jewish QP member who resigned from the executive of QP Local 1734. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi.
So,
hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, let's begin with Warren. What do you think of this, and what changed after so long where none of what he did seemed to make a difference?
Well, looking in from the outside, I've done some writing about QP. I wouldn't know as much as Carrie does, but it looks to me like he became baggage for them. He became a big problem. You know, as you pointed out, they put up with some of his initial anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, and arguably anti-Semitic stuff. But I think there were some straws that broke the camel's back. The big one, I think, was him basically participating in a rally in support of Iran. Iran has got the worst human rights record in the world. Back just a few weeks ago in June, he led an effort to defend Iran, saying hands off Iran. And I think what I was hearing from people within QP, and there are some good people there, and Kerry is one of them, just said enough is enough. So he's lost his national role, but as you point out, he's still there exercising power at the provincial level.
Kerry, your reaction to this development, and what's your take on what may have changed?
Well, I was quite happy that the tides are starting to change and people are starting to find their voice. I think a huge part of the problem is people are afraid to run against him. There's a lot of bullying going on from inside. So people are concerned if they don't win, what will happen. But I do think that more people have now found their voices and are standing up as they did last week at National. And hopefully we'll see the same trend coming in May at the provincial election when he hopefully we'll lose that position.
Okay. So people are afraid to run against him, but what would stop them from voting against him if they disagree?
There's nobody to vote for. I was at the convention when he got reelected, and there were other people that ran. None of them had a platform. None of them prepared anything ahead of time. It seemed a little contrived to me, like he didn't want to be acclaimed. Better he should win. I can't prove that. It's the way it felt. There wasn't really any competition. But having said that, you have to understand there's less than 0.3% of the members are actually there to vote. So, you know, it's hard to actually say he got reelected democratically because the people that aren't happy typically just stop going to convention, and then they don't have a voice at all. And even people that do want to vote, like me, can't go because our presidents and executive don't let us go. So it's kind of a no-win situation.
You were part of a human rights complaint. Do you still want to go forward with that?
Absolutely. It's not just Fred Hahn. It's QP Ontario. And whether he's there or not, the damage and the hurt have been caused. And he continued to do it more, even more so after he was served with the paper. So he knows he's causing harm and he continues to do it. So yes, I would not drop the case. I think that QP Ontario has to take some responsibility too.
Warren, do you see this part of, perhaps a rethink among public sector unions? You know, I'm looking at a report here that was talking about what happened at the QP National Conference. And according to the count here, and this is Juno News, they say that fewer than 1 in 10 resolutions address the everyday concerns of members, like wages, pensions, workload. And roughly a third of the agenda was consumed by geopolitics. And they're talking about resolutions promoting socialism, condemning capitalism, calling on Canada's withdrawal from NATO and endorsing the BDS movement against Israel. So do you see a kind of realization going on that, you know, maybe now is not the time to be seized with this stuff?
Yeah, I've got some good examples, too. You know, back in the summer, QP Ontario was railing against the IHRA accepted definition of anti-Semitism, which is accepted by Canada and countries around the world. It said it was going to fight against bubble zones, you know, which not just protect synagogues, they protect mosques as well and churches. And then they said they wanted to advocate in support of anti-Palestinian racism, which superficially sounds great until you find out that APR, as it's called, has been used to basically argue for the proposition that Israel shouldn't exist and actually doesn't exist. But to your point, yes, I think the public sector unions, not the private sector ones, the public sector unions are getting in trouble with their own members. They're certainly getting in trouble with the public and government. And so CUPW, for example, which, full disclosure, I used to be a lawyer for a million years ago when dinosaurs still roamed the earth. You know, they would go to Libya. They would go to conferences sponsored by Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. They would advocate in favor of all kinds of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish stuff. Well, look at them now. You know, they've lost their own membership. Their current strike is falling apart because they've lost the path. You know, they've kind of lost the plot. Same thing here. I think QP's membership decided, you know what, this guy has become a lightning rod for too much controversy, and we need to get back to focusing on our membership because that's, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that's the way it's going. But, you know, as you point out, Fred Hahn is still there.
Carrie, do people come to you in confidence? Do you see less of an appetite for the kind of geopolitical radical activism?
I think that it's the very loud small minority that fights for that, and they outshout the people who actually want this change and want the union to focus on union business and not all this other stuff that doesn't impact the members at all, but it's using up a lot of time and a lot of resources. So yes, I do hear from people, and people are constantly asking, what can we do? And the answer is, use your voice. We all need to start speaking up. And if you can't get to convention, do it at your local level, do it wherever you can. And I think, you know, people need to start hearing that this is not what a public sector labor union in Ontario or Canada is supposed to be doing.
Do you think that, say, when we look at CUPW, you know, the members were turning against this strike and saying, hey, we need some paychecks. Do you think that there's a kind of a resentment because, you know, members need their paychecks, but no matter what happens, the people running the unions get paid?
Yeah, well, I know that it happens all the time. Like, people are starting to resent the amount of money that the unions are spending on things like their own salaries and their own benefits and their own cars that they drive, and, you know, and not focusing on issues that the members need them to focus on. So yes, I do think the members are starting to realize, and hopefully, you know, change takes time, but I think it definitely is starting.
Warren, I mean, you're a lawyer. A lot of this stuff is, I mean, it's entrenched.
It is. But, you know, as Carrie points out, and as I think we all hope, you know, there are people who within CUPE or CUPW or any of these other unions, Unifor, public sector unions, who are saying, and like CUPE Ontario feels to me like an outlier, like CUPE Nova Scotia. Like if you think back to the revolution in Iran in 1979, the first people that the Ayatollahs killed were union leaders. So CUPE Nova Scotia said, you know, in 2022 that they stood with the people of Iran and not the autocrats who run the place. And CUPE Vancouver has called for an investigation into Iran when it shot down that Ukrainian International Airlines flight a few years ago. So there are people within the CUPE leadership and the CUPE membership who I think are decent people and are sane. But there's something in the water at CUPE Ontario. And, you know, Fred Hahn, I think, is like he's hurting the entire union movement. And I say that as somebody who used to be a member of a union.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, what part, Warren, do you think there? I mean, I think Mark Carney has shown that he is willing to take on public sector unions, that he will be willing to cut the public service, which basically mushroomed under Trudeau. Do you think that there is a realization of that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the rumors we're all hearing about this budget is it's going to be historic. It's going to be like the Martin Chrétien budget of 94. The irony, I mean, I feel sorry for Pierre Poilievre, who lost his seat, an Ottawa area seat, because all the public servants who were his constituents thought, you know, if he became prime minister, they'd lose their job. Well, now it looks like they're going to lose their jobs under Mark Carney as well. So kind of a bit of irony there. But yeah, I, you know, is there an anti-union sentiment taking place in the country? To some extent, sadly, I would say there is. And it's because of stuff like Fred Hahn and CUPE Ontario, who are just, you know, wildly out of touch. Like Fred Hahn, God bless him, is a gay man. Like if he traveled to Iran, who he's advocated for, if he traveled to Gaza, who he advocates for all the time, like Libby, I don't think he'd last 24 hours. How that escapes him is beyond me.
Like, and a lot of gay people, it slays me. It really does.
It makes no sense at all. So yes, hopefully sanity is creeping back into the picture. But we've got a ways to go yet, because the union movement, the public sector union movement in this country, really got off the beaten path for quite some time.
Another question to you, Warren. I'm trying to find out more about this very young man, Joel Lightbound, who is in charge of the Canada Post restructuring and seems to have the chops for it. What's your take on him? He's 37 years old. I never heard of him before.
Yeah, I've got shoes older than this cabinet. <He's>... So his title is the Minister of Government Transformation, Public Works and Procurement. And he's a newcomer to politics, very bright young guy. But, you know, I think he had no choice. Canada Post has been losing $10 million a day for a long time now, as the Prime Minister pointed out just a few days ago. And so the status quo, like the cliche goes, was just not an option. We had to do something. Joel Lightbound had to do something. And so he dropped the bomb. He said, we're not going to have, you know, door-to-door delivery of mail to your homes anymore. And that was a courageous thing to say. Some might say it's a politically suicidal thing to say, because right now people are saying, oh, that's fine, I don't miss Canada Post. But, you know, in February, when you've got your mom climbing over a snowbank at 8 feet high to get to a community mailbox, I'm not sure people are going to be as sanguine about it. But I really think at the end of the day, they didn't have any choice. And what, again, getting back to what we're talking about, what does Canada Post do? They have the second major national strike in a year to oppose this. And now they see that the public's not on side and their own members aren't on side. and they're talking about coming back to work. So, you know, the public sector unions are really losing a lot of credibility these days.
I'm going to give the last word to Carrie. What would you like to leave us with on this, and what's your next move? I mean, Fred Hahn is only half gone.
Yeah, I think it's probably even less than half if you're in Ontario. I guess I would just like to see more people finding their voices and speaking up, because I know that people are afraid to. And, you know, for example, there was a huge resolution on the floor last week about BDS, and somebody came to the floor and said, can we do a private ballot? And the people who wanted it to pass went ballistic over a private ballot. Well, how is a private ballot taking away their safety? It's not. But it's so eventually the private ballot people won and the resolution was defeated. So they didn't give up. They kept fighting. And if you're lucky enough to have a few people who are willing to speak at the mic at convention, you can make things happen.
Okay. On that note, we wrap things up. Thanks so much, Carrie Silverberg and Warren Kinsella. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, thank you.
Okay. We're taking another break. And when we come back, a Canadian has won part of the Nobel Peace, the Nobel Prize in Economics. He is originally from Guelph, and he won for something called the Creative Destruction Theory. And when we come back, we will try to learn what exactly that means.